All right, Exodus chapter 2. I want to read our text one more time. 11 to 15. Exodus chapter 2, 11 to 15. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said unto him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedst the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now, no one person can be a full picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not possible. We search the Scriptures looking for Christ and looking for pictures of Him and everybody here. But no one person can be a full picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, because all men and women are sinners. That's why. They all fall. They do wrong. They disobey, and it's recorded. They have a sinful flesh. They have a sinful nature. And Moses could never perfectly represent the Christ. He's not the Christ. He's just a man. He's just a man. You know, we lift these men up. I'm so thankful for Moses and David and Abraham and the Apostle Paul, but they're just men. That's all they are. They're just men. But he does represent you and me as a man. And the Lord did raise him up to be a picture of our deliverer. So what I want to do is look at Moses two ways. I want to see our representative, and I want to see Moses the man. Two ways. We're going to see what the Lord did for us, and we're going to see what we did to ourselves in 11 to 15. Verse 11 says, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown. When he grew up. Now, representing our deliverer, the one who came. When the Lord God entered this world as an infant, he was just as much God as he was before the world began. And he was just as much God as he is right now, as a little infant. And this is a truth that I believe, but it can be hard to understand. And I had such a good time looking at this. This is going to be next Sunday morning's message, Lord willing. But I want you to look at one verse. Turn to Luke chapter 2. This is, I think, one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. I really do. Luke chapter 2. This is the Lord at the age of 12 years old. Look at verse 52. It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? He was just as much God as he is right now. But I believe this because he wrote it down. Jesus increased in wisdom, in knowledge, in understanding, and in stature, in age, in height, and in favor with God and man. I think that's so amazing. You know what that means? That means God became a man. That's what it means. God became a man, a real man, and a real, actual man. Now, this illustration doesn't even come close to describing what God did. And to think of the God growing up, he had birthdays. I mean, I know that's crazy to think about. Earthly speaking, he's eternal. But he had birthdays. And he played with friends. The God. Can you imagine that? The condescension. Now, what if you could condescend from a human down to a maggot? That didn't even come close to describing what he did. A real maggot. Well, God became a man. He became a man. Our text back in Exodus 2 says in verse 11, "And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren." He went out. He left his home. He left the palace. He left the king's house. And he went down to the slime pits. That's what he did. Chapter 1, verse 14 says, "Mortar and brick. They made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and brick." And remember those words translated mire and clay. He left glory and he came down to this miry clay, and that's where he found you and me. Verse 11 says, "He went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens." How kind is that? Honestly, how kind is that? Thinking about this God. It doesn't even do us any justice at all to think about a man becoming a maggot. That's nothing compared to what God did. But how kind is that? Matthew says of our Lord, "When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Our God is a God of compassion. That's who He is. That's how He is. That's His personality. He's a God of compassion. Look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. "The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey." The Lord is good. The Lord is so good. I love the song. It says, "When my Savior reached down for me." You know that song? "When He reached way down for me, I was lost and undone without God's precious Son, but He reached way down for me. He came to where I was, to the miry clay." Well, chapter 2, verse 11 says, "It came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. Now in verse 10, he's an infant. He's an infant in verse 10. He's in Pharaoh's house. He's the king's son. He's heir to the throne. And for all everybody knows, he's an Egyptian. He's the king's son. He lives in Pharaoh's house. He's an Egyptian. And you would think verse 11 would say, and he spied an Egyptian, one of his brethren, smiting a Hebrew. But it doesn't say that. Aren't you so glad it doesn't say that? It says he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. The Lord is good. We cannot enter into how good He's been to us. What all He's done, what all He's allowed us to be. Romans 8 says, conformed us to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. I've thought about the fact before that in a family, when you have a biological child and an adopted child, and an adopted child comes in, it would be very easy for a biological child to be jealous, wouldn't it? It would be very easy. But the biological only begotten Son of the Father willingly left His Father and came to us and bought us and died for us that He might call us His brothers. Behold, what manner of love. This is great love. Amazing love. The Lord is so good. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did for His people. The Son of the Highest came to His own, and He looked upon their burdens, and He made His enemies partaker with Him, that He should be the firstborn of many brethren. All right, now, look at this. Verse 13. We'll come back to verse 12. Look at verse 13. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, Moses said, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedst the Egyptian? He came unto his own, but his own received him not. He said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? What a response that is. Can you believe that? Can you believe somebody would respond that way? They've been in bondage for 400 years. They've been waiting and praying for God to send somebody to help them and free them from this torture. And when God sends Moses, they said, who made thee a judge over us? Can you believe they said that? That's what we said. By nature, that's exactly what every single one of us said. Were these people worthy to be helped? Absolutely not. No. They were rebels against God, just like you and me. Well, who did make him a prince and a judge over us? Turn over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and look at verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Philippians 2 says, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. God did it. Well, back in our text, Exodus 2, he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? What they were saying was, we will not have this man reign over us. We will not have this man reign over us. And in verse 14, he said, intendest thou to kill me as thou killedst the Egyptian? Yes. Yes. All who will not bow the knee to Christ as being Lord and Savior, yes. That's exactly what he intends to do. That's a frightening thought, isn't it? That's the truth. I can quote this, or you can turn if you want to. It's 2 Thessalonians verse 1. Listen to this. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. He began that by saying, we're bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, because you bow the knee. You bow the knee. Let's fear God. Let's fear God. Nobody but God. Let's all bow the knee. Let's all kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Let's all cry out for mercy. Lord, save me. Please save me. Spare me. You're my only hope of deliverance. The Lord said, whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And he said, whoever asks from the heart shall receive. Ask, ask, ask. Now, we begin this by saying no man can be a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's see Moses for the sinner he is. Okay, he's just a sinful man like us. And let's see how God deals with him. Verse 11 and 12 say, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren, and he looked this way and that way. And when he saw there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. He knew it was wrong. He knew it was wrong. I don't care whose son he is. He knew it was wrong. He looked this way. He looked that way. And he killed a man. And like the coward we all are, he didn't confess to it. He tried to bury him, hide him in the sand. He did bury him, hit him in the sand. When the Lord God explained and exposed sin to Moses on Mount Sinai, on two tables of stone, what did He spell out for him in plain Hebrew? Thou shalt not kill. He was talking right to Moses. Don't you know that every commandment God gave as Moses was watching the finger of God, right? Oh! It stabbed him in the heart. I've broken every one. He's like, oh no, I've broken that. I've broken that. I've broken that. He's a sinner. He sinned against God. He's thinking maybe those sins will go away. Maybe time will heal everything. Maybe those things I've done will remain a secret. Verse 13 in our text says, and when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedst the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Everybody thinks they can get away with it. They always think they can get away with it. Those things I did 20 years ago, those are in the past now. You know what will strike fear into a sinner? Realizing this thing is known. God knows. God knows. The first time a person gets a hold of the fact that God knows, He sees me. I cannot hide. He searches the heart. He searches the mind. He even knows the intent of the heart. And verse 15 says, now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. He fled from the face of Pharaoh. Pharaoh was going to slay Moses, and that's what Moses deserved. He killed a man. Eye for an eye. That's now his destiny. I'm a sinner, and I'm destined to die. That's my destiny. He's a dead man walking. So it says, he fled from the face of Pharaoh. John the Baptist cried, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Flee. The guilty sinner says, where can I go? Where can I flee? The gospel says, there's a city of refuge. There's a fountain filled with blood. There's a cleft in the rock. You get inside that cleft right there. You get in that fountain and you go all the way down. You get in that city and you don't come out. Run to Jesus Christ. Run to Jesus Christ. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Verse 15 says, when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. He sat down by a well. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He sat down by a well of cool, refreshing water. You know, the Lord met that woman at the well. He said, I'll give you living water. Listen to this. Listen to Isaiah chapter 12. Just turn there. Turn there with me. Isaiah chapter 12. This is good. I like this. Isaiah chapter 12. Look at verse 1. It says, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. He ran and he sat down on that well. Our Lord said, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the water. That well is Christ. That well is deep. That well is full. It's actually running over. And it's never going to run dry. Never. All right, now let's close with something that I think is enjoyably wonderful. If Irene was here right now, she would say, that's delicious. That's what she told me the other night. That was delicious. I think this is delicious. All right, let's look at the way Moses saw it, and let's look at the way God saw it. This is really enjoyable. All right, Exodus chapter 2. Go back to Exodus 2. The way Moses saw it, let's start with his parents. Exodus 2, look at verses 1 and 2. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Now, why do you hide anything? Why do you hide anything? Even a present. If you're going to give somebody a present, why do you hide anything? Fear. I'm afraid she'll find it. I'm afraid they'll steal it. Fear. Why do we hide anything? It's fear. Now hold your place right here and turn to Hebrews 11. His parents were afraid. Now look at Hebrews 11, verse 23. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. That's the way God saw it. All right, now go hold your place in Hebrews 11 and go back to Exodus 2. Look at verse 14. It says, and he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedst the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now, when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Now go back to Hebrews 11. The way Moses saw it, he was scared. Verse 14 said Moses feared. Now look at the way God saw it. Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Isn't that amazing? That's how God saw it. Why does the Lord God see it that way? Why does he say this of Moses and his parents? It's because of something called faith. The just live by it. We're saved by grace through it. And it's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. But Hebrews 11 verse 2 says, all whom God gives this faith to obtain a good report. Verse 2. Hebrews 11 verse 2. Obtain a good report. How? Why? Because Christ took their report and gave them His report. If you belong to Him, and if He's given you this faith, you're going to get one too. You're going to get one too. And when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'll be. And we get to read our report. You're not going to believe what your report says. Really? Me? My report's gone. It's gone. He said, I will forgive their iniquity and I'll remember their sin no more. It's gone. You got a new report. The way Moses saw it. Thank the Lord God for the way God saw it. Stand together with me.